Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello there. This is Vector Podcast, third season. I'm sure you've been waiting for new episodes. There's been something happening in my family on the positive side. So I was a little bit like distracted in a way, but I'm super excited to have my guest with me. It's Saurabh Rai, who is a software developer. He also doubles in DevRel. He has an open source project, which is like skyrocketing in stars. Welcome, Saurabh.
Yes. Hi, Dimitri. And it's a pleasure to be on the first episode of the third season. And it's a pretty amazing introduction that you do. So, hey, audience, I am Saurabh. I am a software developer with more than 2 years of experience. I've been doing a lot of open source projects.
And there is one more thing that I should also mention, which is also very important. Well, at least for me, and I know for you as well, is that you are the designer on this podcast. And I'm sure that you will be designing this very episode as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun, like designing your own, like editing the own episode and the banner and it's all that. So it's pretty amazing. Going from designer, open source, and then here as a speaker now.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you check out some of the designs that drew your attention, you should know that these were done by Saurabh. I'm really excited to have you here. As usual, we start with an intro. Could you introduce yourself to our audience? What's your background and how you got here? Yeah.
Okay, so I have a background in computer science and engineering, coming up with an engineering degree right after the COVID second wave hit in India. And after that, I've been doing like full stack development for a very large corporate company out there, probably been there for 2.5 years. And apart from that, I was pretty much involved into open source projects, vector search, machine learning in AI, and all the same spaces that you are in. That's how I found you and the other amazing team members out there that we have collaborated and I've designed for as well. So that was a interest that I've kept on to work towards artificial intelligence, machine learning, vector spaces, vector search, vector databases, and all those interesting things. And yeah, and all thing open source as well. So with all that's happening in the last 2 years with me, I ended up creating this project of mine called Resume Matcher, which is started to like gain more attention than I initially assumed. And that's where it all like blew up, like 4,000, nearly 4,500 GitHub stars, a huge amount of traffic on the website, and a lot of downloads, maybe like more than 1,000 folks. I've got like 800 member in my community, so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is insane and crazy. I remember we were chatting together about this project, and you said you have this project which is kind of like, you know, academic interest or something like that you've been doing on the side, right? And then we were chatting, I gave you like a small advice to rename it slightly, and then you decided to really go public with it or whatever. Like, just an insane amount of growth that you've made there, from like a couple of stars to 4,500 stars. Like, how did you do that? Like, I still don't understand.
So the amazing part with the whole thing was that, as you mentioned, initially it was called Naive Resume Matching, and it was pretty much focused on the algorithm. And like when we were talking about it, to make it more public friendly, have a nice intuitive dashboard so that people can interact apart from the command line stuff that I had before. So that was the whole thing, to create up a product that people can use. And that introduced me to something called as developer marketing. It's not just that you have the product or you have the code, but there has to be something special about it that you can do so that it grows. I mean, we have a huge, probably a millions of open source project in GitHub and GitLab as well. What makes a difference between something that has 100 stars or maybe less to something that has 4,000 or maybe more than that? That has the element of marketing out there and a finely polished product. So that's the key differentiator between everything, is that writing software is essential, but if you don't do the marketing, if you don't do the advertising or evangelizing about your whole stuff, then it probably like doesn't get as much attention it wants to. So that was the game changer for Resume Matcher.
This is an amazing like journey that you've had there. And this is where I want to ask you next, my next question. Like, can you a bit explain what the Resume Matcher does, and like, how is it relevant or useful to pretty much anybody, I guess, but maybe developers first, right?
The target audience for Resume Matcher was developers out there. I'm a software developer, so I knew like what was the challenge with the whole project. What Resume Matcher does is like, it is a reverse ATS tool for your resumes out there. It takes up certain keywords from job descriptions, and then it matches with your resume out there. It suggests that probably you can add some extra keywords. An example would be, hey, I am a Java developer. I'm going to apply for this full stack developer job that I know that I can do well. The full stack developer job contains certain extra keywords. Say, I have written Java, but the job description has mentioned it as J2EE or Java 2 Enterprise Edition, or probably another package. Maybe it has Maven, it has Spring, and I've written as Spring Boot. So certain keyword mismatches there, which anybody can make. And then that is something that Resume Matcher fills in. It will go out, parse your resume, match it with a lot of job descriptions out there. And it's going to suggest you a similarity score as well. So that, hey, this is the job, this is how much you match. And that's where the vector similarity comes in.
Yeah. You mentioned ATS. What does it stand for? Can you expand it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So for those who don't know, ATS is an applicant tracking system. There's like a lot of them. So what actually happens is that when you apply to a company, any like from startup to a large corporate company, you submit their resumes and they get ingested by these applicant tracking system. These softwares take in your resume, extract all the keywords, and then they run some similarity scores against the job description. It also do some custom keyword searching as well, but that's to per company basis.
It's like optimizing your resume, right? I remember I was reading one book. I will need to look it up to link it in the show notes, but basically it's a book about how you should approach job seeking, but part of it is basically writing your resume, right? And I remember that it was actually starting in reverse way, the same way you just explained, but it would kind of first ask you to list the jobs where you want to apply, right? Sort of like scope them, and then you kind of try to summarize what's common in there, if there is some commonality, and then you go backwards to your experience and you try to kind of match these things in the proper way, right? And so you even need to start your resume from the key skill that these job ads are looking for. And that's how your resume is going to stand out. That's an amazing way that you cracked it. Basically, I don't know if you've read that book, but
no, I'm not.
That's amazing. And so this tool has now how many contributors? It's an open source, right?
Sorry, I missed it a bit.
So this tool is open source, right?
Yeah, open source with Apache 2.0 license.
Yeah, and how many, and you, like, part of the journey, it's not just getting stars, right? You did get stars, which is amazing, but I think an even more interesting result, at least for me, is that you got contributors besides yourself.
Exactly.
And I think last time I checked was today, like you have, I don't know, dozens of them. Like how did that happen? Like,
yeah, more than so this advice would be more towards like the open source companies out there. Like we've seen a lot of them getting started. Y Combinator has a lot of like they've started funding a lot of open source companies out there, which is pretty amazing. Where from vector database, machine learning tools, generative AI tools, all those amazing things. So the interesting part of this is that trending gives you visibility. Like if you are on the GitHub trending feed, it will give you visibility. And there are all the people out there who are like looking for their next content. So we have a lot of YouTubers out there who talk about open source projects. We have a lot of blog writers out there who write about, even I've also written about it in certain of my blogs as well, like the other different tools. So trending feed gives you visibility. People take it out and then people tweet about the project. People talk in their different forums. It gets reshared. So this gives you a really good visibility, probably maybe like improves up your SEO a bit, that I would say. And the once you are visible, it's going to be like more people are going to download that project. They will try it out. And if they find out a bug, they will contribute it. And some other people are really enthusiastic. They want to learn, hop into your community. They will talk about like, hey, can I contribute? Is this an issue that I want to talk about? So the whole thing with the resume matcher was the same as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then I feel like maybe these people also found your project relevant to themselves or maybe to their connections, right? I was checking your product hunt and I see some comments where people say that, hey, this is an amazing tool. I also recommended it to a friend of mine who's also looking for a job, right? And I think this market, of course, became like IT sector became a little volatile, probably around the world, right, to some extent. And so you kind of kicked in with this project in the right
maybe.
moment.
Yes, I would say that maybe my timing was perfect. In that sense, like the moment, I would not like to state it in that sense, but I just wrote the product. I never knew that the market was going to be in that same thing. So the resume matcher took the advantage of time, but hey, we're also seeing a lot of generative AI based open source startups. Llama Index is pretty amazing in that sense. Like I know Llama Index and LangChain, trying them out when they were like really small. They were just growing out there. And then after like 12, 13 months, I believe, 12, yeah, around like nearly a year, maybe less. Now they're like full-blown companies. They've got an investment. They have their own cloud tier. So maybe the whole next big shift is towards open source.
Yeah, exactly. Well, getting a bit more technical, can you also unveil some of the architecture decisions you made for this tool? I know that you are using vector search. Is that right? Like, what are you using? You are using some library or database. Maybe you started using a database. Can you explain a bit more about the architecture of your system?
I use like basic tools such as PDF Miner or PDF extraction tools, Word text extraction tools, I would say. I use that. Then I use libraries such as Spacey, NLTK, and yeah, Spacey and NLTK, and some code that I've written to combine them and use algorithms to extract chunks of text. And then I use something called as so I was using Quadrant Vector Database to do the vector embedding, but later on Quadrant introduced something called as fast embed, which is pretty amazing, and it can do the text to vector embedding on the fly. And then using that I've written like someone contributed the code to do the cosine similarity for that. So extract the text, do the analysis using SPACY, NLTK, and there's also another wrapper on top of SPACY. Use that, get the core of the data, visualize it, and then send it to the people out there for the vector embedding. Vector search is something that I would like to introduce. Maybe generative AI is also that something that I'm working on as well. So the current goal in the couple of months is to get a dynamic ATS that takes in your resume, takes in the job description, optimizes it without hallucinating, without adding some extra keywords out there. Like as a Java developer, you don't want cloud. If you haven't worked in cloud, then you don't want Kubernetes to be suddenly added into your resume, or maybe it, you don't want it to say that, hey, this guy has worked at some other company and created OpenAI's any random stuff that that comes up. So limiting the hallucination and all that thing to introduce generative AI is somewhere in between.
Yeah, for sure. And are you also like planning to make it like a cloud version or something that you host for other people to access? Or is it so that at the moment it's mostly like self-service, right? So people need to download your repository, set it up and start using it.
The challenges with cloud is that cloud is not free. And if I was to introduce some a cloud variant that has to be like, have a paywall, people have to log in, they have to subscribe and all that thing. It's a far-fetched goal that if I want to, I can get a paid version of it. But what I really want is a downloadable version that people can download and easily access. Not just software developers, but maybe everyone out there. Like a Mac OS app or an iOS app that people can download and start to use.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense for sure. Yeah, you also mentioned something about like challenges maintaining this project. Oh, I don't know. Is it challenging to maintain a project that you've been like the author of, but now you have so many contributors, maybe also a growing demand of things and people make decisions and so on. How do you coordinate this thing today? Is it a challenge?
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting question, by the way. It becomes challenging after a certain while. So when you're trending, it gives you a really amazing, intense dopamine hit, and you're excited about it. You check out the GitHub feed, hey, I've grown by 200 stars and everything. I've seen like a lot of people joining, and they're talking to you. And then after that, after the whole phase fades out, there comes in a time when like, I have a lot of pull requests out there, which we have to talk about. And then even if the pull requests are there, you have to download them, test them. And then there could be things like you have to request changes, and it all takes up a lot of time. So it does becomes challenging, but hey, but that's the part of process. Like even you do the same thing with at your workplace as well. So I won't focus much on that. Like it's the work that's there.
Yeah. It's
maintaining
work.
Any open source project.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like marathon, and you need to dedicate some chunk of your day to do stuff, right? To maintain it, to keep it alive.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. You also mentioned that you basically replicated this success of you became like a marketing guru in some sense, right? Like I know that there are even like companies that have open source repositories that haven't had such a success that you've had in just a few weeks. I mean, I'm just really amazed by this. You also picked up another project and you kind of like replicated the same process there, and you grew it to like really big level. So can you talk a bit more about what is this project about, and what's your role there and what do you do?
So while I was doing resume match and all this thing, I was looking for a search engine out there, like something that could easily federate the queries across different sources and extract information. And probably the guest has also paid on the previous version of season 2 of Vector Podcast as well. It was Swirl Search. So I had a talk with Sid, and we probably kicked off like, hey, we had similar interest. He was also into search and embeddings and all those AI stuff, and I was also interested in that. So I joined in as a open source contributor out there. We talked about like, hey, how can we replicate the success for Resume Matcher, that truth world. And it wasn't much of a serious role, I would say, or a full-time role, but I did the testing of like, does the principles work somewhere else as well? So I took that as a challenge, and Swirl Search went down from, say, 100 GitHub stars to somewhere between 1400 now. And I did that around like 2 months, I would say. So it depends on project and the timing. Not everything is going to be like resume oriented. It's a more practical and more enterprisey thing with Swirl. What they do in Jest is that they are AI Connect platform. They connect internal large language models to your enterprise data sources, such as Teams and Outlook. So while they have some developer audience, it's pretty focused towards something like a niche out there. Instead of like ChatGPT or something which is generic, anyone can use. So really something which will cater to, let's just say, 5% or even 3% of the audience out there. So that's that. I mean, that was the challenge. And I talked to the team. We did some changes, wrote some blogs, and we arrived at like a really good substantial result. So as I could say, the principles work for all the companies out there. Swirl has been, could we say, one of the extreme use cases that, hey, this is catering to enterprise, but it works for them, then it can work for any generic public-facing project as well.
Yeah, amazing. And please do check out the episode with Sid Probstein, that who created Swirl, and he's a very driven individual with a lot of experience in search engine development and software development at large. Please check it out. Yeah, that's amazing. I also want to ask you, where do you go from here, right? So do you need some help with the resume matcher, or you have enough of help, but you need some maybe cloud credits to host it, something like that? Well, anything
yes
goes.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Like any help would be appreciated with Resume Matcher out there. If you can donate to the project out there, it can help like drive the motivation out there to do stuff. Maybe what I would really help is, especially is this in the generative AI offering out there that I'm going to develop. Maybe help and test it out with different AI providers. We also have a like open source model, Mixtral, Google's Gemma, all those things. And then we have ChatGPT. So really would like to help in orchestrating the whole project around how to do it in a more better generative manner. So that's, I would really need anyone's help out there. And of course, cloud hosting. If we can test a model out there that can help us with cloud hosting, or someone who would like to sponsor the project, that would be the better one, because it gets a lot of traffic, the website. I can put you up on the website. If you like to sponsor, you can reach out to me. I will drop in maybe.
That's fantastic. I'm sure there will be someone reaching out, or at least checking out the website using the tool. Yeah. That's amazing. I also like to ask this little bit more philosophical question by the end of the podcast, which I used to ask it like, why do you do things? But maybe I will try to rephrase it in this third season. What drives you when you wake up? What drives you, right? Why are you doing this? Like, what drives you in your open source job?
Pretty amazing question. What drives you? So I would like to quote Seneca as the Roman philosopher out there for a philosophical question. He says like, life is short and our time on planet Earth is pretty limited. And if you use it well, it's the same life could be long enough to live for that. So it's not about like why you start with why, but you just start with something. And I started with open source. And it went from like, hey, anybody can do open source. All you need is a laptop or a computer and how to do Git. It starts with there. You build out a public project. You talk about it, share the same idea. You contribute to other projects. And the whole chain starts from there. And then that's how I found like all these amazing people out there, including you, coming up with how to improve Resume Matcher. I've even met some really grateful, amazing people out there as well. So it's in the beginning when I was doing the whole thing, it never occurred to me that this project could go out and become a really trending project. It never did. I mean, it was the wildest, maybe like 0.01% of the dream that, hey, can this go trending?
Yeah.
And then it did happen. And not only that, it happened like maybe 12 more times to be go out and become this whole trending thing. So that was pretty amazing. So in the beginning, it was, let's do just something. We have time, not waste it. Don't waste time. Let's get started. And eventually spans it out. Like,
yeah.
More action you take, the better it gets.
Yeah, absolutely. So like keep on doing this, right? And also you are very driven. Like every time we talk, like off podcast, I learn something from you, right? You give me a couple of links and I start checking them. So it seems like you're always on the edge. That's amazing. Yeah, thank you very much, Zarab. I really enjoyed chatting to you. I'm sure we will connect more. I'm looking forward to the design, the craziest design that you will come up for this episode.
Of course.
And all the best with Resume Matcher and with your blogging. And I also know like you're using a ton of modern tools, right? Like ChatGPT, and you apply them to work. That's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And yes, thank you, Dimitri. Thank you for having me on this podcast and giving me the opportunity to talk about Resume Matcher.